Thanks so much, Colonel. We really appreciate it. And I will have a link to the Colonel's piece called The Gathering Storm. It'll be in the show description if you want to go and read it. It's a really good piece. And the fact that we can't produce ammunition and the decline of the West in the midst of all of this banking collapse, it's a really important piece. So encourage all of you to go read the Colonel's piece.
All right. Well, we're going to talk more about many things, protests in Israel and the Twitter files. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at stamps.com. Now, you may be thinking about going to the post office to file. What is it? What time of year is it? Tax time.
Taxes.
Are you excited about this?
No.
Well, it's exciting to have it done. It's not exciting to go to the post office. You probably already know that. But with stamps.com, you can print your own postage and shipping labels right from your home or office, and it's ready to go in minutes, so you can get back up and running to your business sooner. Now, of course, it's not just for taxes, but for other things that you may want to ship for your business, such as redacted t-shirts, if you were doing something like that. Mugs, let's see, whatever it is you're selling on Etsy. Of course, this is the post office elevated. Postage rates just increased again, but luckily stamps.com has the best discounts in the industry with rates that you literally can't find anywhere else, like up to 84% off USPS and UPS. Plus, stamps.com automatically tells you your cheapest and fastest shipping options. They are a one-stop shop for all of your shipping and mailing needs. For 25 years, stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses. So set your business up for success when you get started with stamps.com today. Sign up with a promo code redacted for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click that microphone at the top of the page, and enter the code redacted. Once again, that's stamps.com/redacted and use our code redacted. And thank you again to stamps.com for sponsoring our show.
Well, here's something you don't hear every day. Civil war in Israel. Well, that's the latest headline from the Jerusalem Post. Take a look. One of the country's biggest newspapers, Israel's president Isaac Herzog saying Israel is at the edge of an abyss. Is the U.S.'s top ally in the Middle East really about to implode, or is this a lot of talk from liberal elites in that country? Our correspondent in Washington, Dan Cohen, spent years covering Israel-Palestine from that region, is going to help us understand all of this from Washington today. Dan, good to see you. So, civil war in Israel?
Well, I got to say, it's an incredibly rich statement from Isaac Herzog, and he's the president of Israel, which I want to clarify is essentially a ceremonial position. So he's not a very powerful figure. The prime minister is Benjamin Netanyahu. So president does not mean the same thing in Israel as it does in the United States, for example. So I want to give a little context so we can understand what's going on here. So tens, even hundreds of thousands of Israelis have been going out into the street and protesting since January. And they're protesting against a bill that proposes judicial reforms that will basically severely weaken the Supreme Court and consolidate power in the Knesset, which is Israel's parliament, and is now dominated by the hard right wing and religious coalition of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So the bill has already passed an initial vote and has to pass two more to become law. And Israel doesn't have a constitution, so there are really no rights guaranteed, even to Jewish Israelis, by law. Netanyahu's government is the most right-wing and religious and in Israeli history for the nth time. And most notably among its lawmakers is a figure named Itamar Ben-Gvir, who was a member of organizations and parties that even the Israeli government considered terrorist groups. So now he's in power. He's actually the internal security minister, the guy in charge of the police throughout the entire country. He's really part of an overall rise of the ultra-right that has been decades in the making. You also have a figure named Bezalel Smotrich, who is just in the U.S. this past week making the rounds with Israel lobby groups, and he has been protested by liberal Jewish groups. So the right wing in Israel has long sought to get rid of the Supreme Court. which it sees as a barrier to advancing its agenda. Right-wing politicians have often spoken about actually taking a bulldozer to the Supreme Court itself. Moti Yogev, back in 2015, who was part of the Jewish Home Party, along with Bezalel Smotrich, openly said it and refused to apologize. But I spoke to the Canadian-Israeli journalist David Sheen about what he says are the three factors behind this effort to weaken the Supreme Court.
We can say that there are three factors driving the efforts by the new Netanyahu government to alter the balance of power in Israel and to neuter the judiciary. One is the fact that Netanyahu himself is up on corruption charges, as have been other members of his government, and he's hoping that by changing and reducing the powers of the judiciary, then he can prevent it from disqualifying him and other ministers who are up on corruption charges from running for office. That's number one. Number two is the fact that this government wants to pass racist legislation, lots of it. And over the years, of course, Israeli governments successively have passed many laws that are racist to Palestinians and other non-Jewish groups. Most of the time they passed without judicial oversight. Occasionally there were instances in which the high court put a stop to it and said, no, this is just too far. You're going to have to take it back to the legislature and rewrite it. And because of that, because they've impeded the speed by which the Knesset, Israel's parliament, has passed racist laws, they want to neuter the judiciary. And the third factor is that the religious parties want to change Israel's form of government entirely from a Jewish ethnocracy in which rights and privileges are accorded to people based on their ethnicity. So if you're a Jew by birth, then you have more rights than a non-Jew by birth in Israel. So they want to change that ethnocracy into a Jewish theocracy, in which rights are recorded based on the laws of the Torah and the Talmud and everything that would imply.
So just to expand on what David said a little bit, Netanyahu has been facing numerous corruption charges for a variety of issues, and he brought in the ultra-right. He built this coalition in order to get himself legal immunity, which is done through this judicial move. So then you have another political current, which is kind of difficult to separate, but that wants to impose even more restrictive and discriminatory laws on minorities living inside Israel, whether Palestinians or African asylum seekers or whatever else. And then you have religious parties that want a total theocratic state, as David said. They want the rule of the rabbis rather than any kind of any semblance of democratic rule. So the protesters, the people who have been going out in the streets, are the liberal class who want to have it both ways. They want a Jewish state that affords them rights and privileges over basically half the population or more of Palestinians who are living under occupation in the West Bank, living under siege in the Gaza Strip. They want to go to cafes in Tel Aviv and West Jerusalem and not really see Palestinians. As David calls it, they want to live in an ethnocracy where they're afforded rights and privileges based on their ethnicity. But they want to be free to live secular lives like they're in Western Europe, they're in Paris or London. So this system of a Jewish state, the concept of Zionism that privileges their ethnic groups over others, breeds this intense religious nationalism that has now come to power through Netanyahu and is pushing the effort to neuter the Supreme Court. So Isaac Herzog, who was quoted in the Jerusalem Post, Clayton, that you said at the beginning, this headline about civil war is the perfect embodiment of this kind of hypocrisy. He led Israel's Labor Party for many years. The Labor Party was it dominated Israeli politics for the first three decades of the country's existence, from the late 40s, 50s, 60s, all the way to the late 70s. And it was in power in the 1990s too. It created the ultra-nationalist settlement enterprise and what it denounces as extremists today that are threatening democracy. So Herzog, Isaac Herzog, the president who's saying we're on the verge of civil war, In 2021, November of 2021, he went to the city of Hebron in the occupied West Bank, a Palestinian city where a tiny number of fanatical settlers live in the heart of the old city. If you ever go there, it is just a jarring sight of separation, of military occupation. And he goes to this mosque called the Ibrahimi Mosque, where in 1993, an American-Israeli settler went and opened fire on men and boys in the middle of prayer, called the Ibrahimi Mosque Massacre, killed 29 men and boys and injured like more than 100 more. And this guy is considered a hero to the ultra-right wing and those settlers that he's denouncing. So Herzog went to an actual Hanukkah candle lighting ceremony with these people, with this ultra-fanatical political current who he says are destroying Israel today. So when it comes to kind of maintaining the system of supremacy and occupation over Palestinians, they're all on the same page. When it comes to internal issues in Israeli society, they're shocked and appalled.
I wanted to get your take on this, which is protesters in Israel are calling on a lobbying group from the United States. And if I'm wrong on this, tell me I'm wrong, but AIPAC, which is one of the largest pro-Israel lobbying groups in the United States, and you see Israeli protesters calling on AIPAC to come in and help them. Let's watch.
Everybody out there, we're heading for dark times. AIPAC, we need you. We need you with us. AIPAC, you've supported Israel through all our wars. This is a war for Israel's future.
We are in a critical moment now. It's about time that Howard Kaur will raise his voice, not just behind the screen, because we're on the edge.
We ask of the representatives from AIPAC here today to tell our Prime Minister that they believe Israel should stay a strong democracy as it is today.
You cannot be quiet. Please help us. Let's do it together.
So I've never heard of something like this before. You have protests, you know, in a country and they're calling on a foreign lobbying group to intervene. What's going on here?
Yeah, so AIPAC to the rescue. It's pretty remarkable. So AIPAC is the American-Israel Political Action Committee, the chief organ of what is known as the Israel Lobby, one of the most powerful lobbies in the United States, maybe behind the NRA, Big Pharma, right up there. Okay, so it meddles in U.S. politics. There's an incredible film that Al Jazeera Investigations did showing how the Israel Lobby meddles in the United States with both parties to the point where it can even destroy candidates who kind of, you know, don't go along with the program. So it's really sort of the umbilical cord that keeps total U.S. support for Israel and keeps it on this permanent trajectory of right-wing ultra-nationalism, military occupation that has resulted in this Netanyahu government. But these protesters don't say anything about the fact that Palestinians are living under the boot of occupation in the West Bank. They don't say anything about the raids in Jenin that we covered. They don't say anything about the siege of the Gaza Strip. So they're perfectly comfortable and happy with that situation, but they're living in this gigantic cognitive dissonance. And these displays of AIPAC save us are the kind of perfect display of liberal elite mentality that, you know, reminds me a lot of kind of coastal liberal elites in the U.S.
Yeah.
who all venerated the FBI and the CIA when Trump was elected because they thought, you know, the establishment that essentially created the conditions for someone like Trump, or in the Israeli case, this new Netanyahu government, is going to be the salvation.
It really is. It sounds that way, right? It sounds like the elites who live in the Tel Aviv skyscrapers really do not like Netanyahu. They don't like, of course, this judicial bill. They don't like that he's got three open court cases, and this looks like he's trying to cover some sort of tracks here, and they're looking at for any excuse they can. They don't like his popularity among the masses, And it very much seems, correct me if I'm wrong, but the hatred that liberals have towards Trump.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a really good comparison. You know, just the fact that, I mean, what you said is popularity among the masses. It's true. He says things that liberals don't want to say. You know, and it's the parallels are spot on. And I'm not a fan of Netanyahu at all, if that's not obvious. But he has a very sharp way of working in politics, of speaking to the masses, of getting them on his side, and, you know, pretending to not play the political game that, you know, liberal elites see as kind of a threat. And he has numerous corruption cases, so they want to take him out for that. They want to kind of go back to the way it was not that long ago, rather than, you know, live under this government that is fervently ultra-nationalist and is also religious and is, you know, wants to impose, you know, theocratic rule to some degree, which frankly Palestinians live under anyway, and they don't want that. They want to, you know, have it both ways.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll continue to watch this, see if what these words about civil war come to pass or not, or more bluster. Dan Cohen, reporting from Washington. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thanks, Clayton.
Thank you so much for watching this segment here at Redacted. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, trying to share the stories that the mainstream media will not cover. You should also come over and join our community of Redacted Rebels over at redacted.inc. That's our private locals community where we can share exclusive content that we simply cannot share here on YouTube. Come over and join the rebellion together right now by going to redacted.inc. We'll see you next time.